Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. We've got an action-packed show for you today. Andy Cohn is clapping.
I am. Well, you introduced yourself. I thought you needed a little applause.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Now, Andy,
I gave it up.
You're the editor of Counselor Magazine. What's the big news in Counselor Magazine today?
I am. Wow. The big news is Best Places to Work, issue being produced right now, coming out in September.
All right. We've got 85 companies on there. We're profiling them all.
That's a lot.
Cultures and why they are the best places, and we visited some.
We visited 14 on our special road trip, which was unbelievable.
All right. Well, Michelle Bell is here, editor of Supplier Global Resource. How are you, Michelle?
I'm good. Thank you.
Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages, is in the house.
I'm going to take over for Joe.
Yes, Joe Haley's on vacation, so you can be Joe today. Craig Velcountry is manning the tech booth. Vinny Driscoll is going to be answering your phone calls as soon as he finishes his breakfast. Vinny would love to take calls at 215-953-4979. Today's topic is, how can I improve my marketing by getting an inexpensive PR? So if you have any questions about PR or have some tips on how to get great PR, call Vinny, 215-953-4979.
Vinny will talk your ear off.
If we put you on the air, Michelle, what are we going to give you today?
We're going to give you a $25 Visa gift card.
And how cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
All right. So you can start dialing us now at 215-953-4979. Michelle, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, we have a special guest caller today. We have Jessica Cooper, who is the marketing manager for Printing for Less. She's going to tell us how to create an effective and award-winning e-newsletter. Next, we're going to talk about late payments. Are they still plaguing small businesses and what we can do about that? Andy's got some advice there. We're going to talk about what's missing from your budget for 2012. We have some advice on how to beef up your budget. We have the states that are adding the most jobs for the first that added the first job most jobs for the first half of 2011, which of course bodes well for them and is a good sign. And Kathy's going to talk about character flaws most leaders share.
I don't know why I have to talk about character flaws.
Because you have so many of them.
We're also going to talk about our favorite promotional products for the week, but first we're going to start with Andy with the news.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. We begin this morning with product safety news. Late yesterday, Congress passed reforms to the much-criticized CPSIA law. The new legislation narrows the CPSIA's lead testing requirements to products manufactured since the date of enactment, creates certain exceptions for small batch manufacturers, and removes lead limits for used children's products. Check out Promogram today for full details. On to top 40 financial news now. Distributor firm Cintas reports that it increased its sales by more than 11% and its profits by more than 27% in its most recent quarter. Further, the company recorded a 7.4% revenue increase in its fiscal 2011. General economic news now. A new survey shows that while small businesses are concerned about the direction of the U.S. economy, the majority are still forecasting growth through the remainder of 2011. The business confidence survey shows that 52% of small businesses expect a year-over-year sales increase in 2011. Check out Promogram for complete details. And also in Promogram today, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show. Joe may be on vacation this week, but his dedication to The Joe Show indoors.
Lives on.
All right, it's like thanks. The dude, he abides.
Yes. Andy, what is a used children's product?
I don't know exactly, but I would imagine resold or at used stores or something like that. Maybe they don't need to be retested.
Gotcha. Well, I'm sure we'll hear all about it. More you details will. In Promogram today. Thank you, Andy. We have a caller right now. Jessica Cooper from Printing for Less is going to give us some tips for creating an award-winning e-newsletter. Hello, Jessica. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good. Very good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Well, tell us about how to create an award-winning newsletter.
Yeah, well, I would start off by saying email newsletters they're really a branding tool. They allow you to stay top of mind so that when your customers are ready to buy, they think of you. So with that said, the main key to providing a really great newsletter is to just give your readers relevant, engaging, and useful content. If you do that, it'll give you the opportunity to showcase your business as a thought leader and an expert in your area. You know, it's okay to promote your company and what you have to offer, but avoid being too salesy in a newsletter, I would say.
So what would be an example of a type of article you might include in an e-newsletter?
Mm-hmm. So depending on who your audience is, let's say that, like for us, we focus on small businesses. So we're always trying to provide really great marketing articles, recent news within the small business arena, that sort of thing. So and it really does help. People like it.
Sure. I would think for distributors, case studies, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, you know, recent case studies of, you know, problems that you've helped companies solve mm-hmm. would be positive as well.
Absolutely. We include a case study in every newsletter because, you know, people want to read about people like them and learn from other people. So it really does help.
And how do you create your list for e-newsletter? Do you send it to current clients and prospects, or how do you?
That's another key is making sure that you're continually trying to grow your list. So making sure there's a newsletter sign up on every page of your website, putting in all your social media stuff. Because if you don't have a list to send to, it really doesn't help to have a great newsletter. So continually focusing on list growth is key as well.
Jessica, I think our listeners struggle with when they're starting e-newsletters trying to figure out the frequency, how often they should be sending them out. How often do you suggest people should send out e-newsletters?
You know, it really depends. We send ours out monthly. I think the key is to test. And that's one of the other main points is it's really important to test because what works for us might not work for somebody else. So test and see what people like. You can survey people, you know, how often do you want to receive it. But the really important thing is once you set that frequency, keep with it. So if somebody expects to receive a newsletter every month, make sure they get that. Make sure they don't get it twice a month. They get it once a month and every month. So that's important.
I think some distributors bulk because maybe they don't see themselves as writers and they don't maybe think they have time for this. But they can be relatively short, correct? I mean, the articles can be literally just paragraphs. Is that?
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times you can provide a quick kind of teaser blurb that links to an article somewhere else. So mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be, you know, all your own stuff, and it doesn't have to be a ton of writing. It can just be something where you're just kind of staying top of mind so that your customers, they really do think of you the next time they're looking to buy.
That's a good suggestion. Do you suggest including maybe a short video, like showing a product or something, Jessica?
Yeah, videos work really well. As far as in the email, there is some technical difficulties often. So if you link to a video, that's probably the best option. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Jessica. Great tips from Jessica Cooper for Printing for Less. We appreciate you calling in today.
Thanks a lot.
Have a great day. Now, along those lines, I mean, that's one form of, you know, marketing and a good way to get PR and marketing for your company without a lot of cost. We're going to take some calls now. We want you to call us at 215-953-4979 if you have any questions about how to get good PR for your company and or if you have any tips of things you've done that you want other listeners to know about. On line two this morning, we have Samuel. Good morning, Samuel.
Good morning, guys. I first want to congratulate all of you on the fine job that you do with your magazines. You guys should all be very proud of what you put out there.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. A happy reader.
So my question is regarding PR. I kind of feel like I'm missing the boat compared to my competitors and other local companies. They seem to get the word out there, and I seem not to. Should I be exploring different angles? Should I be talking to different opinion leaders? What tips can you give me to generate some more buzz around my business in the community going through media?
Okay, well, I think we have lots of tips. One is to send out regular press releases about your company, which is, you know, virtually free. I mean, you get a list of the media in your area and contact phone numbers and emails, and you send press releases on a variety of topics. I mean, if your company has a new client, a new product, if they've won an award in the community, I mean, what are some other...
I would also say that you should tout as much as possible your company's involvement and your own involvement in the community itself. So mm-hmm. even if it's providing T-shirts for a local charity walk or anything like that, local newspapers and local business journals are going to be interested in that sort of thing. So the fact that you can tie yourself and your brand to the community, I think, is important. I think that helps get some media coverage locally for sure.
The other thing is anytime you can tie in with a news event, is a great PR opportunity. And just, I'll give an example. ASI does this all the time. You know, when we had the swine flu scare, a year and a half ago, we found out through searches in ESP that sales of hand sanitizers were way, mm-hmm. way up. Mm-hmm. We put out a press release about that. We quoted our members who sold hand sanitizers. They got tons of calls from media, even national media, asking them about this topic because, of course, they were writing about swine flu.
Yeah, I mean, right now, every local newspaper and local media outlet is covering back-to-school issues.
Right.
So, you know, maybe you figure out what your client's most popular back-to-school
right.
products are.
Yep.
You put a release together and send it to
Same
local media.
Same with football season, tailgating
right.
mm-hmm. products. I mean, anytime, you know, even just if you looked at holidays, No Valentine's Day products, romantic gifts, right. Corporate gifts around corporate gift season. I mean, you could create, you know, you're a product expert, so those are all things that you could send press releases about.
I would say, though, when you send the press release, make it be lumpy mail and put a sample in with the press release. Mm-hmm. For example, what you were talking about with the hand sanitizers, how great would that have been if somebody, you know, sent the press release to members of the press
great.
With the hand sanitizer?
That's a great idea.
Package.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. We sent out a press release once on Earth Day, and we sent it on that plantable paper so that people, you know, could plant it when they were done, which definitely got attention.
Yeah, that's great.
We did another release recently on picnics, corporate picnics, and what promotional products were people were giving out, and we sent the press release in a Frisbee.
That's
so
great.
Same type of thing.
Yeah, and like last year, Barbara Corcoran was telling us, Andy touched on this, to do surveys or polls of your customers, say like, you know, what's your favorite holiday gift or whatever, and then send out, you know, something with statistics.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Well, I hope that gives you some ideas, Samuel. Thanks for calling us today.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to that Best Places to Work issue, guys.
Hopefully your company will be in there. Have a great day and stay on the line for your Visa gift card. On line one, we have Stanley. Good morning, Stanley.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. You have a comment about PR?
Yeah. You know, I got an idea from another client who showed me this brag book that they had, and I started doing this. I wanted to find out what you thought. Getting letters from your clients, just like endorsement letters, thank you letters, you know, to show your other clients or to keep on file and just to have so you can, you know, help in the selling process.
Oh, absolutely. So like testimonials.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say make them part of your case study portfolio, too, and have them online, too.
Yeah, instead of just having them in book form, I would say to make them part of an e-newsletter or something that you send out regularly would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck, Stanley. Thanks for calling. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Okay, appreciate it.
All right, on line three, we have June. Good morning, June.
Morning. How are you?
Good.
What are some ways I can get PR for my company that won't cost me a fortune?
Okay, well.
Well, we've been discussing all of them.
Yeah, a lot of the press releases are virtually free, especially if you email them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing that we encourage people to do all the time, ASI and our magazines have tons of awards programs that you can enter, either for suppliers and distributors. If your company is fast-growing, we have an awards program for case studies. You know, if you've got the best client promotion, all different things. Andy, Best Places to Work is another one. For suppliers, we have product design awards. We have apparel awards. I would encourage you to go on ASICentral.com and, you know, look in our awards areas because entering all of these awards programs is free, and what great positive PR for your company. And if you win an award, obviously, you're presented it, you're written up in the magazines. We some of them are presented at the Counselor Awards in front of your peers, and that's all completely free. So that's one great opportunity. You guys have any others?
I would suggest taking advantage of social media. That's how people are really building buzz for their companies right now. You know, get onto Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and, you know, start joining groups, join communities online that you can ask questions to and also give ideas to other people that are asking questions on those message boards. You know, get yourself involved in various online groups so that you can start to build your brand and awareness that way.
I would also say, and I know it's ironic coming from me, the benefits of blogging.
You have a blog.
Brad White, who was our supplier rep of the year last year, is voted on by distributors. He, you know, created a blog and he really built a lot of buzz around it. Now he gets, you know, upwards of 7,000 hits per month, whitethreads.com. You know, and it's just, he does it maybe, you know, once every other week, but, you know, he's really kind of carved out a niche for himself that people now recognize him and also see him kind of as a brand building expert because of that blog.
Yeah, and I would suggest along those lines, on your website, to update content as much as possible. That's the beauty of blogs is that people can update them all the time. And, you know, you can add fresh content to your website so your site shows up well on search engines. And that starts to build momentum and buzz for your company as well.
All right. Good ideas. Well, I hope that helps, June. Thanks for calling and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Hey, thanks.
And on line four, we have Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Good, thanks. Thank you. Do you have a comment or a question?
A couple of comments quickly. I'm getting more involved in LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding that more and more as I'm doing networking quite a bit, that I find that I'm getting invitations and making some contacts through LinkedIn. can't recommend that highly enough, and I need to get more active in it. But I've also been using my Post-it notes as a business card at the networking events. And I found that when I send out the lumpy mail, like you mentioned a second ago, you get really great responses. We've been increasing our networking membership, and very often they say, oh, I got this nice letter from Bob and had a Post-it note in it. And I guess people don't realize, you know, how effective lumpy mail can be, and that's what we're all about.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have to practice what we preach. All right, well, thanks so much for calling, Bob, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
We're going to pause now for a message from today's show sponsor, When I Promote You. When we return, we are going to find out if small businesses are still being plagued by late payments. We are.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. Call 800-857-3370 or visit ipromoteyou.com for more information.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. And Annie, this is a common headache we've heard from small businesses for the past couple of years. They're having too many clients that are paying late or not paying at all. What do you do about it?
Yeah, well, we found a new survey that really does confirm this. 40% of firms surveyed last month by the National Federation of Independent Businesses said that their receivables are coming in at a slower pace this year. And to calculate that a little bit, there's been a 6-day increase in payment in lag time for payments since 2010 and a 10-day rise since 2006. So that has a huge effect on your cash flow. I have one very quick tip that I think can help to solve some of that problem, and it's sort of faking customers out a little bit. But send invoices earlier. You know, get them out as soon as you think it's feasibly possible for your client relationship. So even if it's prior to goods being delivered, you know that the goods, if you think you have a problem on the order, then that's a whole other issue. But if you know that you're meeting your deadline and everything, send the invoice out a few days before goods are in hand. You know, the customer knows that they're going to get there, but at least you can shave some of that time off of the end, which really is lagging. And it creates a whole supply chain issue too, because then distributor payments are lagging to suppliers and supplier payments are lagging to their own vendors. So there's a lot of payment problems in not just this industry, but the economy in general. And so you need to take some steps to ensure that you're combating that.
I know another great tip David Blaze always gives when he teaches classes at the ASI shows is that to call people the day before their payment is due.
Right.
Because a lot of times, you know, and just remind them, because that eliminates the excuse then when you call them when it's overdue.
Sure. And
them saying, oh, I didn't get the invoice or I didn't see it. Well, then, you know, they can do that then so that, mm-hmm. you know, you save some time that way.
Yeah. And I think some salespeople even use that as an opportunity. Like, you don't necessarily want to just make that debt collection call.
Right.
That kind of stinks.
Right,
but,
exactly.
You know, you use it as an opportunity to expand the relationship in a way and throw in the idea of, you know, I just sent out that invoice last week. You'll probably see it, you know, over the next couple of days or whatever, knowing that it's probably sitting on the person's desk.
You know, for suppliers who may be listening, when I did a session when we were in Chicago, distributors that I spoke to for that luncheon panel I did said that they were more likely to pay early or on time if they were going to get a percentage off their next order.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you know, pay within 30
incentive.
Days and get 2% off, you know,
sure.
And they said that really worked for them.
And that's something that I've heard distributors doing as well for their clients, you know, saying, sending an invoice or before invoice saying, you know, our policy is that, you know, we give 5% off for payments within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know,
tips.
Instead of doing the net 30.
Well, there you have it. All right. Thank you, Andy. Kathy, are you going on vacation this summer?
Yeah, I am.
Where are you going?
Ocean City, Maryland.
Ah.
Golden Sands.
Fun.
Can I come?
All right. So here's a question that a lot of people in our industry deal with. Maybe they're short staffed because they have a lot of people taking vacation, or they're a really small operation. How do you handle vacations?
That's right. Well, you know, since thin staffs and slowly improving job markets, employers are hesitant to let employees take vacation whenever they want. But all experts agree that employees have to take vacation or they're going to burn out. One company that makes skis called Epic Planks, rather than letting their employees just simply take summer vacation, they gave them this incentive to take vacation in the winter, and they would double their vacation time because this is their busy time of year, so they don't want to be short-staffed. And the employees, since they're all like skiers and stuff, they really relish that time in the winter, so that was a really good incentive.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
It all comes back to productivity. Like I said, if your people are burned out, you're going to have less productive, less creative people. So it's responsibility of the employer to say, hey, when are you scheduled for a vacation? Make sure you're taking one.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Kath. On line one, we have Joe Johnson, who has a comment about our previous topic, which is clients who pay late. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
And what's your comment?
Well, most suppliers now are asking for payments up front. And with the slow payments now, it really hampers things when you're not really putting them on 30 days now, but almost pay upon receipt. Most of them have been used to the 30-day grace period, but they are paying now when they're receiving the actual item. Is it now because of the change? I guess, you know, should you ask for partial payment or payment up front now from the suppliers, from our customers now that suppliers are normally requesting it?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you do want to do that. We've talked on this show for a while about the importance of trying to get anything up front from your clients that you can. We suggest that you try to get 50% of the deal up front.
That's sometimes really becoming standard with a lot of distributors.
It is. It can be hard, though.
Joe, I think as more distributors do it, it's people are coming to expect it a little bit more.
Yeah, Joe, what I would suggest is immediately trying to put in a policy with new clients that you're going to ask for 50% up front, and then you try to phase in older clients so you don't, ruffle that sort of feathers of that relationship. But I think you do need to ask for some upfront payment, not only to ensure that you have some money to pay your bills to suppliers, but also to ensure that clients, are committed, that they're not just going to back out on a deal and leave you stranded with, imprinted goods that you can't then do anything with.
With the late payments now, as far as in adding late fees for late payments?
For late, like over the 30 days, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I prefer to try to incentivize, to motivate clients to pay on time rather than penalize them for paying late. I think you want to try to do things on the upfront to get money and cash flow okay in your business rather than penalizing them, which then at the very end of a process can upset that relationship, which I don't think you necessarily want to do. So I would suggest against late fees. That's personally my opinion, but I would do everything you can to try to get money up front and then incentivize them to pay on time.
Okay.
Well, good luck, Joe. We hope that helps, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card. Thanks for calling today.
All right. Thank you.
On line two, we have Irv, who also has a comment about late payments. Good morning, Irv.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I tried this several different ways as far as trying to speed up the process. And with the way that the cash flow is nowadays, it's very difficult at times to keep the pot turning in the right direction. One of the things that I did was I have a third-party company that's now doing my accounts receivable. Mm-hmm. And what it does for me is my customers are still net 30, but this company pays me within 3 to 4 days, and it's automatically transferred into my my bank account. And this is not done free, obviously. It's for a small fee. But the percentage I got in the process seems to be one that I was looking for, because it's very difficult to get the cash flow in as quickly as you would like to. So I don't know if other people would be interested in that or not, but this company seems to be helping us out quite a bit.
That sounds like a really interesting option. Now, what happens if the client never pays, which, I imagine is rare?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, they do a background check on all the customers that you submit to them.
Gotcha.
And I handpicked the ones that I knew that were good pay within the 30-day period. So I don't suspect there will ever be a problem with late payment in that regard after the 30 days. But it does speed my process up, as I said before, with getting the cash flow coming in quickly.
Yeah, what Irv is talking about is factoring services, and they're really becoming a lot more popular, not just in the ad specialty industry, but in the economy overall for small businesses, just trying to collect your bills and not spending your time doing it. So we're certainly seeing companies like Irv's that are you basically sell your receivables to this company, mm-hmm. and they take a portion of, you know, a percentage, small percentage, but a percentage of the total receivable, and then they collect the bills and pay you that receivable. So many people do find it worth it just to not spend the time collecting on bills.
Absolutely, and getting the cash flow in
exactly.
there quicker.
Exactly.
Well, good. Thank you very much for calling it, Irv, and Stan Lamb for your Visa gift card. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
All right, now it's time for Michelle's favorite part of the radio show, Our Favorite Things, where the editors talk about their favorite products of the week. And Michelle, since this is your favorite segment, why don't you tell us what your favorite product is?
Well, my favorite product is Breast Cancer Awareness Month is in October, but it's never too early to start looking for products. And this company has these really cool watches with the breast cancer pink ribbon, and their white watches, which are very trendy right now. But when you buy the watches, they make a donation on your behalf to the Breast Cancer Resource Center. So you can go to www.thepinkribbonwatch.com, which I think is a really cool idea.
And we have pictures and ASI numbers for all these products online right now, asicentral.com/radio.
Yes, the ASI number is 53411, but everything is online.
All right. Kathy, what's your favorite product of the week?
My favorite product is called Hand Skins, and they're ultralight gloves made out of Coolmax. So they whisk away moisture. They're for runners, and I thought they would be a good idea.
So you're wearing them every day.
Yes.
She first needs to buy a pair of sneakers.
But this is the good part. They don't have any rubber on the palm, so you could actually use them to wipe the sweat away from your face. So, like, think cross-country teams and even football teams that are training now. You know, they're running and doing all that stuff. Andy, why are you laughing? And also, like, charity runs. I was thinking they would be a great idea for that. But anybody who, you know, is athletic.
There you have
like
it.
Andy.
Is athletic.
Andy, what's your favorite product of the week?
Well, we talk a lot on the show about the opportunity in the healthcare market and how big of an opportunity that is for distributors. So here's a good product for that market. It's a combination lanyard and pen holder that would be perfect for nurses and hospitals and many people in the healthcare market. It comes from Integrity Marketing, and that's ASI 62687. And you can see a picture of it right now at asicentral.com/radio.
I think that's good for editors at trade shows too, Andy.
I think it's a little dorky for that, but that's okay.
Well, for you, because you're so cool.
Right.
All right. We have time for one more thing, and that is this, is, I think, could be an interesting measure of the health of different states in our great USA. Andy.
Oh, you're coming.
Tell us which states added the most jobs in the first half of 2011, and I think distributors should listen up, because that could mean that these states are particularly healthy right now.
Yeah, we have a list of the top 10. I'm going to give you the
Nebraska.
Top three. Nebraska is not within the top three. Let me see if Nebraska is even in the top 10. I think not.
You always get
Nebraska. Not.
Yeah, I know.
Well, she's got a fondness for the Cornhusker state. So number three is Florida. Number two is California. Number one is Texas. I think that those three states specifically lost a lot of jobs in the recession, and now they are quickly bringing them back. But
because
some
those
markets
states are still, especially Florida and California, are still really hurting because of the housing.
They
crisis.
Are. But some markets that are doing pretty well, there is some manufacturing and construction actually in Florida that has helped the uptick. Excuse me. In California and Texas, it's the technology and energy sectors that have done specifically well as far as adding jobs in those two states. So if you're in those areas, some good opportunities for you.
All right. Let's put the full list online at asicentral.com/radio so people can check out how their state is doing in terms of jobs. All right. We are out of time. Thanks for listening today. Thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And be sure to tune in next week, same time, same place, when we'll have Joe Haley back in the house.
Whoa.
Have a great week, everybody.